Hello and welcome to the Beauty Talk podcast. I'm Letitia Bishop, your host, a professional makeup artist and beauty writer. Thank you for coming back and listening. If you love learning all things beauty, please subscribe and say hi to me on Instagram at Letitia Bishop. Today, I invited fellow makeup artist Jamie Smith on the show simply just because I thought maybe a fun chat about beauty and makeup products together would be fun and something you guys might like to have a listen in on. Jamie came to Hong Kong from the US in 2007, leaving behind a successful career in fashion where she designed for large American brands in New York City, and then moved into a few years later as a creative director and trend researcher role, working with fabric and color for coming seasons. All these experiences is without a doubt helped her start and sustain a successful makeup artist career of the last 12 years. And that's where I met Jamie here, being in the industry in Hong Kong. So thank you for coming on the show.
Oh, thank you for having me. Yeah. This is my first podcast.
Yes. Yeah. A lot of my guests, it's their first
one. Excited.
I know. So tell us, how did you get started in being a makeup artist and why, and how did all that start for you?
Well, I always had the art background in design and being an art major at university, and always loved makeup. And I kind of wanted to do it while I was doing fashion in New York. I really wanted to learn how to be a makeup artist to go to beauty school, but wasn't really in the like financial situation or just was too
busy.
Beauty
school's expensive.
Couldn't stop my job and still live in New York and go to school.
And so, New York's expensive as well.
So had the opportunity to move to Hong Kong for my husband's job. And I said to him, if I move with you there, then I am not going to do design anymore. I want to go back and become a makeup artist.
So that was the agreement.
That was the agreement to get me here. So I did it. I went to school here and then just kind of started posting things on social media and getting jobs through my friends and then doing a lot of testing to meet photographers and stylists and hairstylists in the business and then making contacts that way and just grew it to where it is now.
Yeah. Wow. So which school did you go to in Hong Kong? Because English teaching makeup is not a lot.
So it doesn't exist anymore. Mm. And it only existed for this one course.
Wow.
Her name is Mai Lee. And she's a quite successful makeup artist in the UK. But she's originally from Hong Kong. And she decided, there were so many people that were contacting her that there's nothing taught in English in Hong Kong, especially at the time, so many years ago. So she ended up saying, oh, well, I'll come there for the summer and I'm going to do it. I mean, this is originally where she's from. She like was visiting her family. And then we were just like credited out of her school that she also has in London.
Oh, so what perfect timing for you to be here looking for a course at that time. And then the school was there.
Yeah. There was only five of us and I was the only one from Hong Kong. Everyone else living in Hong Kong.
Yeah.
Everyone else was from all over Asia that came in for the course. So I was the local, even though I hadn't lived here that long.
Yeah. You were the... How fantastic. Yeah. And then what was the transition like for you going from testing and building relationships with photographers and people to actually like getting some paid work?
I guess it was also like trying to find my footing of what part of the industry was interesting to me. So whether I wanted to kind of focus more on bridal or private clients or editorial commercial. I really wanted to try to do more editorial commercial that was interesting to me. It was more like the industry that I was in prior. And so I just like tested, and then just literally just contacted people like until I was annoying, until they would hire me and they would remember me. And then it just kind of was quite slow in the beginning, and then you just get contacts within magazines and then they know they want to call you for that. I mean, the editorial side and commercial side is really fun for me, although that's also not where like you make the most money.
Absolutely.
Not in Hong Kong anyway.
Not in Hong Kong.
You can't live on that. So you basically will do anything else that anyone throws at you if you're available.
Mm-hmm.
But and I love my private clients as well.
Yeah.
Like that's always like a really good fun thing. Like just making your everyday woman like feel really beautiful. And
it does feel good. I think we're in a real similar boat there. We both are very passionate about editorial and doing
big photo shoots and productions, but it's hard in Hong Kong to get into that side more of things because we are not Chinese speaking.
Yes.
That also hinders us a lot because they want to work with teams where they can just, you know, speak Chinese, understandably. But
yeah, of course, yeah.
Because when I have been on sets like that, it is a bit of a weird day because you're not sure what the vibe of the set's like because, you know, some sets can be really serious and some everyone's just joking and having fun and you don't know what the vibe is or how to reply because they're all speaking in Chinese. And they speak to you and you're like, okay, I'll just be formal. And then they think you're a bitch or something.
And then also you don't know the direction necessarily the photographer wants.
Or if they're angry or if they're not. Or
they're
like,
speaking in Cantonese. It's going well. And then you're like, are they not happy with the makeup? Like, should I step in and fix something?
Yeah.
So there is that. There's definitely that. But there's also advantages of being a Western makeup artist.
There is.
Yeah.
But not so much for the fashion and like big job work. There is advantages for our private market clients. It's a huge advantage, actually.
Because the aesthetic is a bit different. So there are people that specifically want Western makeup artists. It is interesting to kind of try to figure out what your path is. And you have to be flexible, especially with COVID.
Especially with COVID. We take anything we can, right?
Yes, exactly.
Yes. No, I felt like I've kind of unintentionally gone down a path of more private clients and more teaching and private lessons and masterclasses. I love it as well. It's still doing makeup and it's still talking about something we're highly passionate about.
Yeah.
But you do miss that editorial things and creating and actually I'm doing one tonight, so you still can do it, but you have to carve out time for that and really focus on actually trying to create some beautiful art with a team. But it doesn't pay the bills.
No.
It's really true, isn't it? That was my other question. What kinds of jobs do you mostly like working on? And I guess it's editorial, fashion.
Yeah, I mean, I think so. Although I do feel like my go-to favorite makeup look to do would just be like pure beauty, like natural beauty.
Yeah, me too.
I think that's just like, there's something about like looking at somebody's face and then kind of taking the shape of their face and just enhancing it, you know, hiding flaws and enhancing other things and making them look the best that they can look instead of having to be given a brief and having to like follow it and just try to do exactly a look on whoever the person is.
And it may not suit them, that look. That's the worst, actually, when you've been, you know, tasked this thing and you're like, it's just not going to work for this type of person.
Well, if you wanted that, then why did you pick this person's
model? Exactly, I know. Sometimes it's helpful if the makeup artist is in the casting process.
I know, right? I always think that. And in the picking of image process, because there are things that we see as well,
so much
like lighting, which will make, let's say you have like strong lighting coming from one direction and it'll make like one brow look really really dark and the other one look
but
the photographer or stylist might not notice it, but
we notice what we're working on.
Yes, exactly.
But photographers should be aware of that, but they should light it beautifully. They should light our makeup and the subject beautifully. But when they're selecting the images on the computer, I love to, especially when I can, sometimes when my husband does the photos.
Yes.
But sometimes they don't see it. And they, for instance, like a hair is on the face and it's like in the same line as the brow and it's making the brown brow look all the way down.
Right, right.
Like if you look at it, and they don't see that. They see that. Which is important as well, seeing that the person looks good and confident.
Like the overall image.
Yeah, but maybe the image like just next to that image was the one where the brow looks better.
Right.
Right?
Yes.
And that's, I'm always looking at that as well. Yeah. So a few little fun things we can talk about.
Okay.
What are your must-have products in your makeup work kit, which, you know, can differ from our own products in our own handbags. And, you know, it's always interesting for me as well because each makeup artist love and work with different products to achieve our results. Yeah.
Most of the things that are must-have in my kit, I like to have in my own makeup bag as
well.
Oh, you do? I do. I was trying to think about it earlier, and there's only a few things that don't overlap.
Crossover.
Yeah. But let's see. In my kit, I'm a big fan of cream bronzer. And actually, I love cream products altogether. I just feel like a lot of clients like have anti-aging concerns when it comes to makeup, and they want to kind of look, you know, their best. And working with cream products sometimes a little bit more friendly on skin, so it doesn't sit in fine lines as powders would. So I really love cream blushes, contour sticks. But my favorite...
Which ones are they that you like?
Yes, my favorite is Chanel Le Beige.
Oh, yes.
I hope I'm saying that right.
Yeah, I know. Le Beige. Where do you buy yours, actually, in Hong Kong?
So I buy it online.
Yeah, me too, because you can't get it here.
No, well, because there's nothing like tanning that's very good that you can get here.
They just like, you go to the Chanel counters and they don't even know what that product is.
No.
I ordered it on Harvey Nichols online.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah. I do the Harvey Nichols or Selfridges. I have the like where you pay once during the year and then you get free shipping the whole year. So I do a lot of makeup from there as well. And they have
That's worth it, is it?
Yeah, it's definitely worth it. Especially the amount of makeup I buy.
I think you buy way more than me.
I buy way more than most people.
Well, yeah.
Even for makeup artists.
Oh my God.
Bit of a habit. And then I had to mention that Benefit, their Hoola Cream Contour Stick, the color was like my most favorite, but it's discontinued. Oh. And I've tried buying it like on eBay and everything. I can't find any. But
so it was like a wind-up stick?
Yeah, just like a cream contour stick.
Was it Hoola?
Yeah, it was Benefit, and the color was Hoola.
Oh,
yeah.
And they had it in a cream form.
Yeah, and it was a perfect one. But I finally, maybe last week, finished the last of what I had. It was really sad. Actually, opened the stick and I scraped out like at the bottom, like a stick, and I put it in a little tub so I can still use it. I found a dupe.
Yeah,
that I think
I was about to say, have you taken that tub into Sephora?
Yeah, so I can't find exactly, but the nude sticks, you know, they do the sticks. Their Bondi Bay is quite similar. It's not the exact tone, but it works.
It's a good dupe.
It's a good dupe. So that's definitely something that is in my kit. Let me see, what else? Eyeliner. So MAC, their eye kohl pencil in a specific color, Costa Riche, and it's like the brown, kind of like a warm brown
color.
Yeah,
that's a popular one. I've heard of that one.
Yeah, so and that one you can't get in Hong Kong either.
The MAC in, don't get me started with MAC in Hong Kong. Well, they drive me bonkers.
Yeah, they don't carry things here, and if they do supposedly carry, it's always sold out.
Always. The range that MAC carry in Hong Kong must be 50% of what they have in the West.
Oh, for sure.
50%, especially in terms of artistry products
that
you can get in the UK and America. It's just crazy.
So I always order that specific color on the Selfridges website, and then they ship here.
Ah, yes, because there is a MAC.
Yeah, because there's MAC on there. And that's definite, like, use it as an eyeliner. I use it like to shade over and then just blend as an eyeshadow and then put shadow on top. And
for like a smoky eye.
Yeah, for a smoky eye. Color is just like my go-to brown. Mm-hmm. So that's a definite must-have. Another thing that was discontinued. I know.
So
that
sad.
I like literally can't live without. I still have one tube left is the NARS Tinted Eyeshadow Smudge Proof Base. And it's literally like... I get it in like the darker color, so it actually works almost like a...
As a starting for shadow.
Yeah, as a starting, as a base color on the eye, but it also, nothing budges. Like, you can go swimming, and it, like, nothing budges.
And is it the same with the new, like, the current NARS base?
Now they just have the one neutral color.
Yeah.
They used to have it in a few different colors, like medium, dark. And I liked the darker color because then you can use it, and it was, like, the perfect... kind of brownish base.
For a smoky eye.
Yeah.
Is it just in Hong Kong discontinued or everywhere?
Everywhere.
Oh.
I think the closest I found to dupe it is the Laura Mercier. It's not a stick. It's like a, what do you call it? Like the rabbit foot, claw
foot. Doe foot.
Rabbit's foot.
Actually, I was listening to a beauty podcast the other day, Fat Mascara, and they had on someone that was a kind of, I don't know how you would call her, like a beauty historian or something like this. And they said that a long, long time ago, before maybe early 19th century, they used rabbit's feet to put on blush.
Really?
Like an actual rabbit foot.
Yeah, like the ones that were lucky and used to carry my backpack when I was younger. I'm a lot older than you, so you don't know.
Oh, no, like an actual foot. Like take a rabbit, cut its foot off, preserve it somehow, and then use that to put on your makeup.
That's pretty crazy.
It's pretty disgusting. I'm glad we have makeup brushes.
Thank goodness. Let's see, what else? The KKW lip liners were my favorite colors. Like, she had so many different nudes.
What do you mean, did?
Because she stopped doing her beauty line. It's supposed to come back again. Oh. She's rebranding.
Yes, I might have heard something like that.
So I feel like when she rebrands, it will come back. She'll have the same thing, but it will just be, like,
packaged differently. I think she just changed the company behind the scenes, right? Like the provider of the products. I think
she's not KKW anymore. So
yeah.
It was like a thing, so I'm not sure.
A few contributing factors.
Yeah, so hopefully she'll bring those back. What are your favorites?
I really like the foundation that we've talked about it before, the MAC... Studio Fix Fluid.
Okay. Yeah. So that's a fairly new one, right?
No.
That's an old one.
Studio Fix Fluid is in the glass jar. It's just the foundation I've used for a long time and sits well on everyone's skin, doesn't ball up, or I just never have issues with it. And I can sheer it out, I can pack it on, and you just get safe with the foundation.
I know. I was gonna say, I don't think I've ever used that one, funnily enough.
Because you have your one that works.
Yeah, I think I always, usually in my kit, I have the IT Cosmetics
CC.
Yeah. Because I feel like it's quite buildable. So it can be full coverage, or you can use a little bit and it'd be lighter. I like her color range is pretty big, even for Hong Kong.
Yeah.
Because it's hard to find good color range.
It is. I'm currently also having my kit the Charlotte Tilbury foundation that's been discontinued, the magic one. It's quite a full coverage foundation, but I've been enjoying it. I used last year as well the new NARS foundation, the matte one in the squeezy. I didn't like that.
No.
It's quite dry, and I might bring it back out again for summertime for clients, but it's quite full coverage, quite dry. But yeah, the MAC one is just...
Is that what you use on yourself?
No, I don't actually. No.
Well, you can't always have the same thing, right? So I like to sometimes spend a bit more money on myself because you have to have a lot of colors in your kit.
Yeah.
So unless people are sending you things for free, you have to think about that as well, right?
Yeah. Actually, my kit for my foundation, so you only carry two or three.
Oh, okay.
And I mix it.
And then you mix.
I can't be bothered to carry more than that.
Yeah.
I have two or three. And then like three different styles of foundations.
Right.
But each range, I just have two. Actually, the MAC one, I have four in there. But yeah, and then I would just mix. But then I have like, I always carry the Bobbi Brown BBU palette, which is the Bobbi Brown stick foundations. So I always have all colors just in case. I don't really love that foundation formula. It's not amazing, but I can work with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Another product I really loved having in my kit is the Sephora or just any under eye brightening pen.
Okay.
I love to have those. The like kind of illuminated pens. Yeah.
So Sephora has a good one?
Yeah, Sephora has a good one. Yeah, they have a few ranges, but the first color is always out of stock a lot. I love to have that. And I do love to have the Chanel bronzer.
Yeah.
I always have that.
Actually, another one I love from Sephora is... it's a compact brightening powder and it's yellow.
Oh, the banana one.
Yeah, and it's like quite more yellow than most banana powders. It's quite sheer, but for on set specifically, I'm constantly like touching up with that. It doesn't like, if you put too much powder on, it just gets like too powdery, but if you brush that over, it takes off the shine and it kind of like brightens every time. It's kind of like something I always, always have.
Okay, maybe I should try that one.
Yeah. It's good.
Okay.
And hopefully they sell it in Hong Kong. I usually buy like a couple at a time. So
when you're back home.
Yeah, when you used to be able to travel.
Yeah, remember that?
Yep.
Oh, okay. But what is the difference in what do you have in your personal makeup bag that you don't put in your kit that you save for yourself? Is there anything that sticks out for you?
The only thing that stuck out that I was thinking was just I usually don't use a lot of compact powders in my kit. I have mostly loose powders.
Mm.
But in my bag, I carry a compact powder because...
Like on the go, like day to day.
Purse. Yeah, I carry a...
Loose powder is a bit...
Yeah, it's a bit much. So, it's and a bit I much. Like the Fenty blotting powder.
Oh, yeah, that one's a good one because it has a little universal powder. Yeah, it's very universal.
So that's something I never use in my kit, but I use... Personally, I really like it. I don't know why I don't use it in my kit. I think because I use that yellow one from Sephora in my
You're
kit.
You're reaching for that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that one and the Sephora one doesn't have a sponge in it or anything. So,
already, yeah.
Yeah, so this one already does, so it's good.
It's perfect.
I love the Benefit minis, like the little blushes. I keep that in my purse all the time because they come with a little brush.
And they, do. They do. Yeah. Benefit has great minis.
Yeah.
Minis are great for handbags. Yeah, I always save minis for traveling and mini handbags.
I have so many, but they disappear a lot because I have an 11-year-old daughter.
I could imagine. She must love mom's makeup bag.
Yeah.
Is she, how into makeup is she into?
She's very into makeup. Yes, she loves it. And she loves stealing all my makeup and my brushes.
How it's is a big she at applying? How is
she's really good. I mean, she's getting really good.
Yeah. Do you sometimes have to be like, babe, that's not working for you today?
I try not to. I just kind of like
explore. Yeah. Well, we all went through that stage, right? We all didn't have like an amazing makeup artist mom to be like.
No, and she is. She's got a lot of confidence. She's like, look at my cat eye. This is amazing. But I will never tell her.
You don't? Oh.
You know, she's not at the stage where she's really leaving the house with it on.
Oh, okay. It's
so she's just playing around the house. I mean, if she was like going to school with it, maybe I would help her, but let her figure out her way. Plus with tutorials now, you know, like TikTok and YouTube and everything.
She's we didn't have that.
Me in no time. I know, we didn't have that.
Growing up, I would have this, I had this cheap, like, multi every color palette, right? And I would work at a retail store after school and I would wear like a different color eyeshadow every day in like a different area on my eye. So sometimes it would be like underneath, sometimes it would be like here. And I just wish I had photos. Like, you just didn't have many photos. I would always do my hair in a different day, and my boss one day would be like, Leticia, you don't ever wear the same hairstyle or makeup look twice in a row. And I was like, yeah, why should I?
Yeah.
I don't know how good it was looking. I can't remember now.
But... I know. I used to have a book. I had like a makeup book. Don't ask me who was the makeup artist or who it was. And it was probably something very generic that like,
probably
I got
Bobby
at a
Brown.
School fair or something.
No?
Could have been Bobby Brown.
Kevin McCall.
I remember I had a Gemma...
Kid.
Yes. I had one, her, but that was a little bit later, not when I was really young. But yeah, I used to look at books to try to kind of figure out makeup.
Yeah. Do you remember the encyclopedia? That's how we figured everything out.
Yes.
That's how everything was figured out. Okay. What kind of makeup styles or what area of makeup on clients and models do you hate doing and wish?
Oh, good question. I think my least favorite, if I have to say, out of anything is individual eyelashes.
You don't like doing those?
No.
The faff.
Yeah, love the way it looks.
Yeah.
You know, I recommend it highly, but I don't like doing it. It's like, I don't know, my hand always starts shaking when I have to do it. I like struggle. It's definitely my biggest weakness.
We all have, like, I actually...
I always try to like get a really natural looking strip lash in there if they'll let me. Then I don't have to do the...
It's quicker. It is quicker.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which brand, which strip lash is your favorite?
Oh, it's a good question. I buy a lot of Ardell ones from the U.S. I like their new ones. They have the natural...
Okay.
Like the I don't know what you would call it, but like that line.
Yeah.
And they're specifically natural.
From the Wispies line, probably.
Yeah.
Natural. Yeah.
Yeah, and they're really nice. Or I just like getting the ones I don't even know what the names are from Sasa, the Japanese and Korean
ones. The Japanese ones, actually, I really like because a lot of people have small eyes and they just work really well. You don't have to cut, especially if you have Asian clients, you don't have to cut the ends of them and they just kind of fit on their eye perfectly and they taper off at the ends really nice. The Japanese ones are really nice. I don't mind doing the individual lashes.
Yeah.
I kind of get them on there quite quick and because it just looks so much...
It does. It looks so much more natural.
More natural and they don't complain about, oh, this is poking me in the eye and you've got to take it off and recut it and put it back on again and it eliminates all that. So sometimes I think it's better. For me, I hate liquid liner.
Yeah, I don't like that either. That would be my second one, I think. I like a gel liner with a brush.
Yeah. Yeah. I need to do that more, because sometimes, like, if you can get it right, it's like quick, done, good. Yeah. But then if you get it wrong, you're going to use the Q-tip with the micellar and it's like smudging everywhere. And
yeah. Yeah. Sometimes you are like, I don't know how to fix it. I'm just going to have to make the other eye look, go back and do. Yeah. I mean, the same problems that people have when they're doing their own makeup at home, right?
Yeah. We're not like magicians. Yeah. We just have the same tools. We just do it more often.
Yeah. And then, you know, sometimes clients like open their eye in the middle. You're like, oh no.
You get the transfer. Yeah. Just stay looking down.
Yeah.
Yeah. The gel with the brush is you have a little bit more maneuver. You can move it a bit better.
I just haven't really found one that lasts as long as some of the liquid liners.
Yeah.
Like, I like the Chanel one. But okay. I feel like it comes off more.
More. Yeah. I like, when I do eyeliner, I mostly like to use a gel pencil and smudge it out.
Yeah.
That's my favorite way. It just looks more flattering on most people than, you know,
it doesn't have the shine that I kind of like. That's one of the things. I don't like when liquid liner has too much of a shine to it.
Yeah, that like wet paint look. Yeah. It does, doesn't it? Especially for photos, it can look a bit
weird. Yeah, it catches the light.
Weird. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Okay, so we have a few questions from our listeners that we asked on our Instagram.
Okay.
Do you have any favorite makeup brands? I mean, everyone asks us this, right? If you could just use one makeup brand, you're like...
Oh, gosh.
But, okay, what are a couple, like, your go-tos you're always looking for?
My go-tos. I love NARS. I like the pigment of, like, all of their shadows and blushes. And overall, they just make, like, really great products. So
they NARS do. NARS is a good one. Out of stock a lot in Hong Kong, though.
Yeah, but so is everything, really.
It's a running theme in Hong Kong. Yeah. I'm telling you, girls, buy your makeup when you go.
Yes, but you know what? There's so many places you can order online now.
There is.
Where, like, when I first moved here, that didn't exist. There was no online ordering anything, no less makeup.
I just like to touch things and feel it.
Yes, I know.
Even when I do client shopping, I will go into Sephora, hopefully, and I can feel it and look at it. And then I order on the website, Sephora, on the app. Yeah. Because they always have more stock there than in the store.
Yeah, definitely.
So it's a bit annoying, but I do that.
Yeah. Besides for... I do love Fenty, actually. I think the colors for Fenty are kind of... I don't think I could do an entire, like, couple people's makeup with just Fenty. But there's so many specific products in Fenty that I love. Like, I love their gloss balm. I like their eyeliner pencils. I like their highlighters.
Mm-hmm.
I like their primer. I like, there's like three of their brushes that are my favorite brushes.
I was about to say, is there anything Fenty I've used that I don't like? But there is. I didn't like the foundation.
The foundation. Yeah.
Yeah, the one in the squeezy tube.
Yeah.
I haven't tried the other one, I don't think. But the squeezy tube one, that's meant to be the hydrating one, is it?
Or one of them. I think there's two squeezy tubes, or I might be making that up. Oh, is there?
It's the more older one.
Yeah.
I would say. I didn't like that at all.
Yeah.
Just sat in my pores.
I've never bought any of their foundations. Yeah. No, that's not true. I had one in a tube, but I felt like it was a matte one.
Maybe it was a matte. That's why I didn't like it. Everything else from Fenty I've liked. I have the stick in amber. That's a good gray. I really recommend that one because it's very gray ashy if you're doing... The matchsticks, I often don't do like a lot of contour. I just kind of do it with bronzing for people.
Yeah.
I just feel like it's... And if you go into the MAC here, that contour shade sculpt from MAC that we always use, they don't have it.
No.
They don't have it. You can only buy... Literally, there's no contour powders in MAC, only a palette, a full-on palette.
Right,
it's
right.
It's like...
Yeah.
You are MAC makeup, right?
Yeah.
Drives me crazy.
I mean, really, Bobbi Brown does good matte tone things. So, like, for neutrals.
Yeah.
So, that's always a good go-to to keep in your kit or
And in Hong Kong, Bobbi Brown seems to be really popular with, like, our range of clients. Yeah. There's not one makeup consultation and lesson I do with a client that doesn't have some Bobbi Brown in her makeup bag.
Yeah.
They all have Bobbi Brown.
I guess because...
They have a good method of selling things, I think, on their counter. Everyone has it.
I think her beauty idea and aesthetic is that you kind of like do... You know, you're just enhancing.
Yeah. So, no, I love her aesthetic.
Like, there's no crazy colors on it and anything. That just maybe kind of what works with, like, most of our clientele, so that's why. But they do have, like, really good brown, different color browns, eyeshadows that are matte, and different, like, bronzers that are matte that you can use to sculpt. So that's probably like a go-to for that too. And the Benefit ones that don't have any, because I like a good matte bronzer to just use as sculpting.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah, a matte bronzer, not a shimmery bronzer. Yeah. I have a friend that bought the new Makeup by Mario eyeshadow palette.
I have it.
Oh, you have it? Mm-hmm. Yeah, she said she loves it. Do you love it?
I really like it.
Oh, okay.
It's good. Actually, I love his eyeliners.
I think she said that too, or the lip pencil.
So I use the black, and then there's two different color browns. One's like a really rich one, and one's a little bit lighter. And I use on myself and in my kit. That's like my favorite eyeliner right now.
Okay.
So I've been using that probably for a good 6 months, and everyone says it doesn't move. Like on me, it's hard for things not to move. I have very oily skin, and no matter what I do, things move. I think I touch my face a lot.
I do too. Yeah. And summer.
Yeah. Well, and Hong Kong's weather, like you can't make products that stick.
They don't make them.
Weather. No,
they're
not humanly possible.
It's not. And if there's a cosmetic scientist or formulator out there who wants to give it a go, come here.
I know.
Try to formulate something that works in the summer. Seriously. We would love you.
Yeah. I realized why like everyone on Instagram and YouTube and everything have like perfect makeup all the time. When I was in Vegas, I was like, because it is completely dry on this side of the world in Vegas and in LA. I'm like, so your makeup doesn't move.
It doesn't. So it doesn't.
You do look like that all day if you put it on. And here it's like, I look like that before I leave the house. In the summer. And then,
if I've done any type of housework or any moved around moves. Yeah. Sweat is the. It's a lot of sweat in summer.
Yes. A lot of sweat.
Do you have another question we've been asked is like makeup brushes, is there particular brands or styles that you love to use?
So I'd say my newest one that I'm really into is, she's actually a makeup artist that I started following on Instagram, and then I did an online masterclass with her. She's in Australia. Her name's Tanyelle. Tanyelle Jai or okay. J-A-I. Yeah, so Tanyelle just came out with her own line, and I ordered them from Australia. It took a little bit of time to get here, a little bit longer than they kind of said, but she just started this brand, and I love them. So I got a for cream contouring and foundation brush. Oh, it's kind of the same thing. It's kind of almost like a kabuki brush, but not as kind of hard-packed as a kabuki brush. Mm-hmm. I got a lip brush that on one side it kind of has like a diffuser brush almost, which is kind of nice if you don't want like a really thick line, which is kind of one of her signature things that she does. And the other side has like a more flat lip brush. And then, I got a brush for highlighter. I'm always looking for new brushes for highlighter, for powder highlighter.
The like circle fluffy.
Yeah, long. I just feel like everything I buy... it never looks like exactly the way I want it to.
In the brush shape, you mean?
Or that applies how it applies. That's,
Zoeva have one.
Yeah, I love Zoeva brushes, and they're so reasonable.
Very reasonable. Mm-hmm. I also like Sephora Pro brushes.
Okay, I've never tried those, so that's good
to know. I don't know if there's many available in Hong Kong, but in the States, there's like Sephora brushes and then there's Sephora Pro brushes, and the brush handles and the brushes are just quite different. They're longer because you know how a longer brush is nice for us. They're good. MAC brushes are fine, but but Zoeva's good.
I have MAC brushes in my kit that I have from 12 years ago, so they are still lasting. So that's a really good thing for a brush through all the washes that we have to do, especially.
Brushes last for ages, I think, if you look after them well. Then I have brushes that I've had for over 12 years as well, before I was a makeup artist as well, from a brand in Australia, Napoleon Cosmetics or something. Yeah, I bought a brush set from them when I used to work in the shopping mall. I bought a brush set and I still have some of them.
Do you like My Kit Co?
I haven't bought them, but
okay, so that's besides for these new, I love their brushes. Yeah. Love, 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 love. Probably my favorite.
Yeah, definitely. And we have a question of how do you clean your brushes? Do you have any tips? How
do you? So I use brush cleaner that I buy on iHerb.
I know you're a huge fan. I'm a fan. I always watch your unboxing.
Yeah. It's a really popular content, I'm telling you. Yes. People love
it. I'm sure. I love iHerb. So I use a brush cleaner and I soak them in like as hot water as I could possibly get in the brush cleaner. And then I take them out and I usually use the Beauty Blender bar soap that you either comes with the little beauty blenders that you buy, if you can get like the set or that you buy separately. And then I take, especially the ones that are powder, I don't need to do this step for, but the ones that have any kind of cream product in, I kind of just like roll it over the actual bar of soap, then can help finish washing it out.
The bar of soap will really help get
Yeah, and it doesn't have to be the Beauty Blender one. I think you could use any kind of bar soap. I just have a lot of them that have come with, so I have them around the house. And then lay them flat. Or hanging over the side of...
Because they will dry faster that way because the air will... Yeah, but I just...
Especially in Hong Kong.
On a kitchen towel, like paper towel. Yeah.
And all the time, wash them after every client?
We have talked about this before. Yes. I wash them after every client. I don't wash my own ones.
No,
as
me neither.
As often at all. But yes, my brushes get washed after every client. And I'm constantly like... Yeah, buying more brushes so then I can be more lazy and like not have to wash them. Yeah. And you have like a few clients and then they're all together and you don't have
What to happens with me is I always buy a new brush and I'm like, okay, I'm buying it for my kit. But then I keep having to take it out of my kit and then clean it to put it back in my kit. So I just buy another one for myself. So yeah, so there's like doubling up and then, it just gets out of hand. I have so many brushes.
It's helpful though. Some days where... You have a lot of clients and you're like, I'm going to run out of brushes. I don't have enough brushes for this many. A last minute booking, you're like, oh, I didn't wash my brushes. So I don't think we can ever have too many brushes.
No, that's what I tell my husband.
It's our job, right?
Yes, exactly.
He's like, I have to go to Sephora. Oh, really? It's for work. It's not for me. Or like it's not for me. It's not, there's a Sephora delivery at the door. Yeah. And he's like, oh, you haven't even opened it. I was like, yeah, because there's nothing for me in there. It's for my clients. It's not exciting. What are your thoughts? We have a question on, what are your thoughts on semi-permanent like tattoos and brows and lips, stick to makeup, or what do you think?
So I am not a fan of tattooed makeup when it comes to like eyeliner, lipstick, anything, but I don't hate on a microbladed eyebrow. So I can't say that I don't like anything that's semi-permanent because I'm dying to get my eyebrows microbladed.
Again or for the first time?
For the first time. I've never had it done.
Yeah, me neither. Yeah. No.
So, I want to be really, I think because I'm a little bit picky, so I want to be quite specific. I don't want the whole thing done. I just want the specific areas that I need it done. So, so I'm all about that, but I say absolutely not to getting your lip liner done.
It's becoming more and more popular, though.
It is. I mean, I think they have perfected it now. It's different. I see people doing like the whole lip.
Yeah, it's more about putting a shade, like a light shade of pigment.
Yeah, I don't hate that.
I'd be scared.
Yeah, I think it's a commitment.
It's a commitment.
Yeah. Eyeliner I don't like.
That would be terrifying, but I do see it on people and it looks, as long as you don't do like a wing or anything.
Yeah.
I would really say no wings, just along your natural lash line. Just to define the lashes, but
and I have tattoos, so I'm not scared of like needles.
No,
but around the eyes, it's pretty close.
I would love to do the brows, but
anything to make your life more easier.
Yes, but I have lighter hairs, and you could just see any work that they've done instantly. There's no natural hairs to cover it a little bit and make it look like, oh, do I have a brow tattoo or not?
Right.
Yeah, she's got a brow tattoo.
Yeah.
So I've yet to see anyone do brows like mine that I absolutely love.
The lash extensions?
Yes.
Best thing ever.
Yeah, you have those on now.
I've had them for years, but I will say this. They ruin your lashes.
Yeah.
Sorry, not going to lie. 150% they ruin your lashes. So I started, I think, after I had my son, so maybe 9 years ago.
And you haven't stopped? You haven't had a break?
No, I had like a break for like 3 days one time.
3 days?
Yeah, and I looked at myself and I was like, oh my God, I look like I died. So
you mean you went in and you got them all the little wispy ones removed off?
I'm taken off. I'm like, I'm going to let them grow.
And you lasted 3 days.
Yeah. And then one other time since then, I did do like 2 weeks, and I did, which is huge for me. And I did lash growing serum, and they did start to grow a bit. Also, they, for some reason, when you get them removed, they're very straight. Like, they're very short and they're very straight.
Maybe you just forgot what yours looked like.
I don't think mine were this bad. These were definitely, like, they were never that bad. But then they kind of relax a little bit, I think, after a while. Or the lash serum was really helping. Couldn't tell you what it was called, though. I forget what brand it was. And then I was like, ah, forget this. I'm getting my lashes back on.
I did it once in December, this last December.
Yeah.
I had them and they looked great for a week and a half. Really loved them. I got really natural, like you could almost, because I was a bit scared for the first time. I have a very fair face. I didn't want anything too dark. It was fantastic, but I hated them because they're annoying to wash your face, off makeup.
You have to get used to that.
Yeah.
Like when I go swimming, I have my lash protectors is what I tell my kids. They're goggles. But like I can't go under the water without my lash protectors.
I love that new name. You've just elevated goggles.
Yes. Also, you get lasharexic. It's a thing. So once you have them on, you're like, your first time you get them on, you're like, they're huge.
Oh,
and then you go back and you're like, actually, I'll take more. And like the ones I have on now, which because of everything being closed, they're like at the end. Like they really need to be done. But they're usually like quite full and long. I don't think they're full and long enough anymore, even like when they first do them. And I say to my people, I've been going there for years, every time, do you have anything bigger? And they like laugh. They're like, this is the biggest that we have. But you get like lasharexic. You see yourself in the mirror and they don't look as big as you think.
You just come accustomed to them.
Yeah. And other people are like, no, Jamie, they're really big. And I'm like, are they though? Are they?
You sure? I guess you haven't had the lash lift then.
I have not because I've had
always had these on.
Yes. And I will say this, it hinders a bit of knowing what mascaras are the best.
Oh, yeah. You can not test them really. Yeah, you can use them, but.
Yeah. So I use a bottom lash because I've got blonde bottom eyelashes. So I use bottom lash, but you don't really get the same like
testing effect. It. Yeah, yeah.
And like what you're looking for in a bottom lash mascara is like something. Yeah, like I'm loving the Byredo one.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So the waterproof one by Byredo, because I would normally like probably get like dark underneath my eyes from the mascara I use. This does not move. In fact, it's quite hard to take off at night, but it's fine with me.
Deal with that.
Yeah, sure. I would rather have that than have panda eyes during the day. Mm-hmm. But yeah, for mascara, I usually just have to read reviews, buy it, and try it out on my clients.
Yeah.
Or friends.
The lash lift that's my favorite
thing
to do as a treatment to make yourself look better without having to wear much makeup.
Yeah.
It's especially for blondes when they tint and lift the lashes. I don't wear mascara for like a week.
Wow. See, habit. I wasn't like this before I started doing them. So if you are going to get lash extensions.
Be aware.
Yeah, you have to commit. Although, you know, they're really good. Like if you're going to get, if you're going to have your wedding, you could do them for like the month and then have your honeymoon and just have them. You can then take them off. You don't have to get addicted like I did.
No, you can have self-control.
Yeah.
I always tell it's a great idea to get the lash lift if you're going on holidays or something to the beach, so you don't want to have to faff with lash curlers. And they curl them up. It curls so much more than what you can ever do with a lash curler.
Right.
It's so bouncy. You just look so awake because you can get a C shape or an L shape.
Okay, yeah.
And last time there was a miscommunication, they did C, and I was like, I don't think it worked. And they're like, oh, because that was C, not L. And I was like, oh. Once you go L, you don't go back.
Yeah.
It's like they're up. Your lashes are really. Yeah.
And next time you go back, you're going to be like, what's more than an L?
Yeah, exactly. Can they get higher and more perky? Yeah. Because I had the C and I was like, this is not doing it for me anymore. Oh, okay. I think we've chatted a lot and enough.
Yeah.
That was great.
I have a question for you.
Okay.
Because you had asked me earlier and I was just curious. So what products do you have your eye on that you really want to buy?
Oh, I watched a video yesterday. My friend Jessica Wong, this is what popped into my head, maybe not what I like super want to buy, but I don't actually like this brand very much or use it much. The Tarte, it's called Brow Wig. It's a brow mascara.
Okay.
Like Benefit Gimme Brow.
Yep.
Like that, but from
Too Faced.
Tarte.
Oh, from Too Faced. So I use the Too Faced Brow Pomade. This one is in a stick, so they call it like pencil and pomade. Oh. Might have brought it with me to show you. I'm not sure, but that's what I use on my brows now. Love it, but it's always sold out in Hong Kong. It wasn't when I first tried it, but now it's kind of out.
It's a pencil pomade. How does that
pencil
work?
Pencil pomade. I think it's just the texture of it. It's quite make it just lasts and sticks, and you don't need a couple products.
So you apply it like a pencil.
Apply it like a pencil, and then it's kind of just like a little bit sticky until it dries, so it's almost a little bit like a pomade. Anyway, I feel like I could talk about this for hours.
We really, really could. Maybe come back for another round in a few months or something, another episode.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you for coming on and chatting with us at the Beauty Talk here. If you guys want to find Jamie, you can find her on Instagram at Smudge Makeup Artistry. I will leave her handle down below. And yeah, bye for now.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Thanks for listening to the show. You can find details on everything I mentioned on the blog, The Beauty Talk. I'll leave a link below for this episode's post. While you're there, be sure to sign up for the newsletter so every episode is delivered directly into your inbox. That way, you'll never miss an episode. I'd love to hear from you and see what you think of the episode. You can follow me on Instagram at Letitia Bishop, or I have a private Facebook group, which you'll also find a link for down below. Please don't forget to subscribe on any of the top podcasting platforms like Spotify, Google, and Apple Podcasts. If you liked this show, please send some love by writing a review, and I'll see you in the next one.